Michael from California regarding should you have a relationship with the opposite sex if you're married? The answer is absolutely not, because there are too many doors that can be opened there, emotional, even spiritual influence, spiritual manipulation. So you can't do it, because Satan will work through that to cause problems, difficulty, misunderstanding in your marriage.
All right. Thank you, Michael. We set the show. In fact, we started last week on part one of this show with Michael starting the same thing, the same statement. Provocative, controversial for some. Opposite sex friendships. He uses the word relationship, and of course, that's a loaded word, isn't it? But friendships, I mean, you're in a workplace. I mean, here at our own ministry, you know, half of our team probably, I haven't done the statistics, but I would say half of our team are female and half male, roughly. Friendships, contact, spending time together. I think there's expectations. We have intentions versus expectations, clear expectations, being clear about boundaries. And if you missed the show from last Wednesday, you really need to go back and listen to it. I'm going to repeat some of the things today. I'm going to go through the top 10 list again of intentionals for opposite sex friendships. It's up on our website. It's been available. It'll be available again today on our highlights page at theintentionallife.com. I'll get to that in a little bit. But looking at the reality of the fact that there's going to be friendships and contact, and maybe you had friends when you got married of the opposite sex. Are they still friends? Did it get cut off? Did your spouse have a problem? Are they now family friends, couple friends? These are all great considerations. There's a case to be made for three really important things biblically, and I'll get to that as well. So I hope you'll stay tuned. If you want to join in with your comments on our storyline, please do so at 888-888-1717.
It was at church, a man at church who started paying attention to me, and we were friends. His wife and my husband and all of us were friends. But his intentions were to use me while his wife was pregnant. I didn't know that. All I knew was that here was somebody who was paying more attention to me than my own husband. And very sadly, relationship went too far and ended up destroying both marriages. I think that couples, people that go into friendship thinking that it can stay that way, ignoring our natural desires, our natural attractions, that God made us this way. And that's exactly what happened to me. I fell prey to someone who was paying attention to me and wanted to show me his attention.
Yeah. Sounded like he did, and it sounded like it was obviously not good. We got a different perspective on that coming up in just a moment. A caller who takes a really kind of think maybe there's overreacting going on when it comes to this topic. We'll get to that in a moment. Let me make a case for a couple of things I mentioned last week. You know, every one of us, you and I, need to understand, be aware of the power of temptation. And in James chapter 1, we have the context that James is talking about spiritual maturity. We're going to be tested in life, growing mature in Christ in the face of temptation. He really lays out the formula here. In verse 14, he says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it's going to kill you. I mean, in some way, emotionally, physically, relationally, in different ways. And we can all attest to that probably. We've seen it in our own families or in life in general, maybe in your own life. Secondly, be aware of the fact that the Bible is clear. In fact, Jesus talks about it in the Garden of Gethsemane to his disciples, who he said, you couldn't even stay awake for a while. And then he made this statement in Matthew 26, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Come on. just because you may be a Christian, a follower of Christ, and going to church and active in your faith, wake up. We're still vulnerable, all of us, each of us. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Even the disciples experience that physically. And when we're physically weak, tired, worn out, stressed, we're even more vulnerable. And then number three on this this idea of what we have a case for in terms of being careful, be aware of how you affect others, especially if they are vulnerable to your friendship. Your intention may be good. Your intention may be pure. Your intention, you just might be a great person and people love being with you. But what is their expectation? What's going on in their head and their heart? You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 8:9, take heed lest by the liberty that you have, you become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now, the context there is the food that's being served after it's been served to idols. And that was a stumbling block for many people. These Jewish believers who are coming to Christ, and they're still saying, wait a minute, you can't be doing that. And Paul's saying, hey, then don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth being a stumbling block to somebody else. That's a great question. Is my action or developing a friendship or relationship with someone healthy for them as well as for me in our marriages and our lives? Intention versus expectations. All right, we'll get to more of that. And I'll give you the top 10 list as well in just a few minutes. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back. We're talking intentional living. By the way, this is an adult conversation today again. So the kids, maybe they're busy with other things, but we got to talk about this, because if you're not intentional in this area, it could become a destructive point in your life.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Are you trying to fix your child's behavior or shape who they're becoming? In Dr. Randy's message titled, You Were Meant to Thrive, you'll learn how to parent from the inside out so you can raise kids with purpose, not just manage the moment.
Parenting is an inside job, inside before outside, truth before opinion. You as a parent or grandparent will never be successful in raising your kids or grandkids if you focus on the outside before the inside.
Support Intentional Living with a monthly gift today, and you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special opportunity. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, the featured lesson, thank you, Kurt. The featured lesson this month is You Were Meant to Thrive. That's an excerpt from that lesson. I believe that. We hear that word a lot. You know, we want to thrive. I think we all want to thrive. I don't know any people that don't want to thrive. But the reality is, as a follower of Christ, we're meant to thrive. Doesn't mean you're not going to get old and deteriorate physically. Come on. We all been down that path at some point, many of us. And if we're not, you will be. So thriving is something to me that's really an inside job. It begins in our heart and in our relationship with Christ and with people. That's a maturing process. Not all older people are mature. They're old. And so the growth here is to thrive in our relationship with Him. That's intentional living. That entire lesson is up on the website. It's in our exclusive site for members. Thank you, members. Thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. You can find out more by calling 888-888-1717 and press number 2, or go to theintentionallife.com. We're talking about opposite sex friendships. So far, we've had a couple comments saying it doesn't work. We've got a different perspective on this. someone who says, hey, maybe there's a little overreacting going on here. Take a listen to her comment.
Good afternoon. My name is Karen, and I am from Michigan. And I just got done listening to the opposite sex segment of the show today. And I do have a couple questions. Not that I don't agree with the individuals are on, the two women and the gentleman. I also have to think back to God's greatest commandment is treat others the way you expect to be treated and love all. I also feel that trust issues are huge in these stories and in these relationships with members of the opposite sex. If you have married someone, you have trusted them, and that trust should be on a reversal basis. I just have a problem with thinking that just because you're speaking to someone, all hell's going to break loose. Excuse me. I personally have a lot of friends, men and women. I am divorced, but not because of this. I just feel that there is the trust that these people are having issues with. They don't trust themselves, A, and B, they don't trust their spouse. And that's pretty sad, in my opinion. And yes, I understand the word lust, and yes, I understand enticement, and yes, that it can lead to things that shouldn't be real. However speaking, some of my best friends are men, and they've been friends even through my marriage. And neither side ever even entered our mind about being dishonored to our spouses or actions that lead to sin. I don't think being in a member of the opposite sex relationship always leads to sin.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I don't think that's, hopefully that's not an argument people are making today, that having a friend of the opposite sex is the sin. The sin is when we, anything, it could be a friendship with any person that can become wrong and sinful. The key is our own heart and where we are in terms of our relationship with Christ. I have the top 10 list. It's going to be up on our homepage, our highlight page on our website. Let me give you a few of these at least and then encourage you, if this interests you a little bit, you can go there and find out more. These were lists that originally created by my friend, Dr. Todd Lindemann, and he makes it pretty clear. Number one on the list is make your relationship with Jesus Christ your number one priority in life. Without that, kind of flying blind when it comes to this whole topic. Develop and consistently nurture a best friend relationship with your spouse. That's huge. Because later, he says, point nine, if you're struggling in your marriage, really avoid opposite-sex friendships because it's the big vulnerability. It's kind of like being super hungry. When you're super hungry, sometimes you'll just eat anything, right? And there's not the discipline. So there's an awareness there. Hey, if my marriage is a real problem, I understand I'm more vulnerable than maybe I would be if things were really good. Develop and consistently nurture close same-sex friendships. Make sure your spouse knows your friend and is completely comfortable with the type and level of interaction that you have with them. That's key. Honor your spouse's wishes. That's a big topic. Avoid establishing close friendships with the opposite sex singles. And this is a big one. Avoid developing a close friendship with someone that you find to be physically or emotionally attracted to you or you to them. I mean, this is pretty common sense stuff. And the reason this is an important topic is because when I look at the statistics, 16% of married adults will have extramarital affair in their lifetime, 3% every year. And then 40% of those end up in divorce. So it's a topic that really deserves intentional living, right? It's a topic that deserves this topic because it's so critical. All right. Let's go to our next caller. By the way, if you want to share your comment, you can do so. Call 888-888-1717.
This is Kathy, and I was just commenting on whether men and women can be friends and be married, friends outside of marriage. And my husband and I have been married 42 years and have always trusted each other completely. But part of that comes from, like you said, being aware that maybe you're the strong one and your friend is not. And we both work full time and have worked with the opposite sex a lot. And we made it very clear to our friends that at work or outside of work, we never went anywhere with someone from the opposite sex alone. And on the rare occasion for a work meeting or something like that, that we did, we always called our spouse and said, hey, I'm going to a meeting with so-and-so, just so you know, because there's always that person you don't see that sees you and that opposite sex person together. And it does maybe look bad. And so when someone would go to my husband and say, I saw your wife with so-and-so, or come to me and say, I saw your husband with so-and-so, we could both say, yeah, we know. They went to a meeting, and that was the end of it. Put it out. And left no room for doubt.
There's a scripture in the book of Psalms, the first words out of the psalmist's mouth, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that sets the stage where the psalmist tells us, for those who are obedient to God's word, those of us who find ourselves in connection with God, he says, they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper or thrive. Can't you picture it? A tree with its roots deep alongside of a beautiful river, just absorbing all that water and growing. Well, listen, we live in the desert. And it's amazing to me. We've got a tree next to our driveway that must get like 7 drops of water a year. And this thing is overtaking our life. I don't know. I don't know if it's connected to our neighbor's underground water system or what. But seriously, thriving does require some sort of nourishment, doesn't it? We got to have that in our lives. And that's true spiritually, relationally, even on this topic today. That's an excerpt from the featured lesson this month on Were You Meant to Thrive? Were you meant to thrive? And the question and the answer is yes. Doesn't mean everything can be perfect. You're going to have problems. We all do. We're going through it in our own family right now, challenges physically and so on. But we can still thrive in our relationship with him, and that's the key. All right, we're talking about opposite sex friendships outside of marriage, at work, community. We know that the statistics are pretty clear that nearly 80% of those that have a problem in this area, develop a problem in this area, have done so either with close friends, acquaintances, coworkers, neighbors, people that you know, not just someone on the street. You have a contact, you have a connection, and they usually connect around an interest or a need or something in your life. One thing can lead to another. I doubt if most people who find themselves falling into this trap did so with intention at the beginning. Some will, of course. There are those who will prey on people. But I think many times it's, quote, maybe unintentional, but it becomes more intentional in an unhealthy way. Your comments are welcome. 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Andy. My name is Lisa from Phoenix, and I'm just letting everyone know, if you're in a relationship and you befriend the opposite sex, weigh your options before you do anything with that other person. Understand that you need God in your life. I made the choice of following myself, and at this moment, my husband and I are still working on our relationship. And this time around, we're doing it with God in our lives, and we're actually seeing progress, and we're starting to heal from that. And there is hope out there when you believe. charge of your relationship. All the ladies to know if they're thinking about it, or if, you know, anyone the opposite sex makes a move, weigh your options. This person that I want to have a fling with is not worth it. He's not going to be there for you. He's not going to help you with this or any other problems.
You're absolutely right, Lisa. Thank you for sharing that great perspective. You got to weigh your options. I would even say weigh the consequences, because that can be pretty painful in your life. Okay, Ryan, in Texas, appreciate your call, my friend. What kind of boundaries or maybe some guardrails that you've had to put in place?
I'm on the other side of this question, I guess you'd say. I cross lines, and so I've had to submit myself to God and learn how to rebuild trust with my spouse. And, you know, pornography has been an issue, and just putting boundaries on phone, internet searches and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. then, you know, outside of friends that I hang out with, I mean, I don't really have any female friends, but I do go to supply stores and stuff. And so that a line with that is just anytime I go in there and have to interact with another woman or something, just being totally transparent with my wife as much as I can with everything. So
and part of the rebuilding of trust with your wife is just laying everything on the table. There's nothing's hidden. How do you feel you're doing? Do you feel like you're in bondage in this process, or do you feel good about how you've drawn these boundaries in place and you're putting them in place?
Oh, that's a good question. Never thought of it that way. I mean, I guess it depends the circumstance. I mean, if a part of me wants to hide something, I guess it could kind of feel like bondage. But at the same time, it's just something I need to overcome and be filled with the Holy Spirit with. And
amen.
So, yeah. But I mean, you know, what did Jesus say? If you look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery. So, I mean, that's nothing physical ever happened with me, but it was all, I mean, my mind and everything was already crossed those lines. And so, just getting back to that. But, you know, God can bring healing and restoration to anything. So
that's right.
It's a process. So
yeah, it is. And he is, if we confess, he forgives. I mean, that's the key. But at the same time, knowing where the vulnerability is and sometimes needing help for that, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't live in a fallen world? It'd be a lot easier, but we do. But the good news is we have a perfect Savior who loves us, and we can walk with him, and he walks with us every day. That's for sure. All right, let's carry on here. Let's go over to Kansas. Dan is on the line. Okay, Dan, how do you handle this topic?
Well, we've been married 43 years, and when we started, we decided to put God in the middle, at the top, at the apex. Mm-hmm. And we've had, you know, we've had bumps and struggles and obstacles. But when it comes to opposite sex, you know, sometimes you might look at another person and they make eye contact and smile or whatever. That could be considered flirting or whatever. I think sometimes Satan gets in the middle of things. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can destroy a marriage and a family, he's got a foothold on everybody.
So how do you handle it? What do you do?
Well, what I do, if I see somebody and my mind begins to wander like that, opposite sex, I try to pray for them. I say, Lord, bless that person. Let them have a great day. Let them know that you're real. And then this last several months, what I do is pray for them, but I ask for the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
And it really, really helps me. It just straightens me right out and get back on the right track.
All right. There you go, Dan. Listen, you know, we got time for one more caller. I'm gonna get over to Dawn in just a moment to wrap up the show. But before we do that, I would just love to get inside of everyone's head who's listening. What's going on as you hear this topic today? Because I can just almost guarantee there's a lot of different thoughts going on, stories. Some of you have been hurt by this. Some of you have been through this. Some of you are going through it now. Some of you have put things into place and it's not an issue. Maybe it's partly how you're wired. It could be partly just your environment, many different things. But I think it would be honest for all of us to admit that this can be a major problem for many people and destroyed a lot of relationships. Our heart here, and my heart, is for you all and for myself and our family and those that we love to experience life the way God intended. And that happens two ways. One is we can be ahead of the oh no moments in life and be proactive in how we choose to live and be intentional. And I think it would be fair to say, as we do things that we know bring glory to God, that the trickle-down benefit to us is pretty clear. And then there are those, you're in the oh no moments of life. They've had those experiences, in those experiences, and recognize the forgiving grace and loving disposition of a God who sent his son to die for you on the cross. And for whatever you're facing, whatever it is in your life that you've struggled with, he loves you today. He wants something better for you. And if that's something where you say, I'm done doing this myself, today might be the day to say, I give my life to Jesus Christ. And that'd be my prayer for you. All right. I think we got time for one more vivid reminder.
My name is Dawn, and I have been married more than once, and when you try and start having a friend of the opposite sex, and you're determined, and this is how it's going to be, it ends up ruining your marriage. I know my last husband was insistent on it, and it ended up ruining our marriage, and I know in the younger years, my younger years, I insisted on it. I thought, oh, this is the way it can be, and it always ends up being more. Because we're human, we are sinners, and we're weak. The flesh is weak, so we have to maintain that friendship with our mate. Someday maybe that'll happen for me, but right now I just live my life for God. Thanks. Bye.
Love your feedback. The phone line is open, and our comment line is always available to you at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. My name, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen here at our IL Center. And thanks for being a part of the show today. I'd love to hear your thoughts. We'll be back again next time, and we're going to be celebrating, I can't believe this, 36 years of this. Stephen told me 36 years of this ministry. I was 10 years old when we started. I think, okay, 15. Anyway. So we're going to have a little celebration for that and have a great show together as well. So have a great day. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living, the ministry of Intentional Life Media.